Welcome to the Swiss Info Podcast, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Thank you for downloading our podcast. I'm Justin Hannay. Making news this week, a 26-year-old Brazilian lawyer admits a horrific attack never happened. Atheists launch a campaign against God, and a Swiss designer debuts at London Fashion Week.
I had a lot of luck in my life. That means I always followed my dream. I always followed what I wanted to become.
But first, authorities in the United States are turning the screw on Switzerland's largest bank and the country's banking secrecy laws. Swiss Info's Matthew Allen has been covering UBS from Zurich and says that although the bank agreed to pay $780 million and identify about 250 people it helped evade American taxes, it and the Swiss government remain under pressure.
Some people believe that the handing over of confidential UBS client data to the US could signal the end for banking secrecy. But Swiss Finance Minister Hans-Rudolf Merz insisted it was here to stay. However, the story doesn't end there. On Thursday, a day after the deal was cut, the US tax authority, the IRS, demanded confidential information on a further 52,000 UBS clients it suspects of evading taxes. And a Swiss court, currently hearing an appeal from UBS clients, could yet rule that Wednesday's release of information was illegal. Switzerland is also facing pressure from the European Union that accuses the country of harbouring tax dodgers. One key area of contention is Switzerland's refusal to acknowledge tax evasion as a crime. Some experts believe banking secrecy could only survive in the long run if this law is changed.
A Brazilian woman who claimed to have miscarried twins after having been viciously attacked by neo-Nazis in Zurich has admitted she fabricated the entire story, and now she could face jail time. Authorities in Switzerland's largest city confirmed on February 19th that the 26-year-old had told police the knife attack never took place and that she had mutilated herself. Pictures of the woman's cuts published in the Brazilian media prompted an intense outcry there, and the foreign ministry suggested that she had been the victim of a hate crime. On February 16th, a panel of judges and lawyers established by the Geneva-based International Commission of Jurists called on the international community to repeal what it called abusive anti-terrorism laws. In a report based on 3 years of investigation, the 8-member body cited incidents of torture, disappearances, secret and arbitrary detentions, and unfair trials. The panel was critical of collusion between liberal democracies and countries with very bad human rights records in the fight against terrorism. Former Irish President Mary Robinson spoke with Swiss Info.
We recognise that there are more effective things we can do to counter terrorism, going the criminal route and making it more effective, and that we have to halt the practices that undermine international human rights law.
Swiss atheists are hoping to raise 50,000 francs to mount a campaign encouraging people to just enjoy life without religion. The campaign, launched on February 16th by the Swiss Freethinkers Association, is designed to represent the 11% of Swiss non-believers and hopes to buy an advertisement on a bus or tram for a year. It has modeled its strategy after London's Atheist Bus campaign. In Swiss Info's comments section, amateur philosophers weighed in.
About time. I don't need religion to tell me the difference between good and bad, right and wrong, and trying to make me feel guilty about not being religious.
That's the best the freethinkers can come up with. After all this time, they still can't prove there is no God, nor will they ever be able to. They poke fun and laugh at Christians, but this is pathetic.
On the culture beat, Switzerland held its music awards on February 19th. The country's equivalent to the Grammy Awards was headlined by Scottish star Amy MacDonald, whose song, This Is the Life, was most played on Swiss radio stations in 2008. And a song about bad men paid dividends for young soul singer Stephanie Heinzmann.
He's a mean man, but he's my man alone. He's a mean one, a son of a gun, keeps me by the telephone. He's a mean man, my man alone.
She walked away with the award for Best Song by a Swiss Artist, and was also the best newcomer. Zurich rapper Blig won for Best Urban Album, and DJ Antoine took the prize for Best Dance Album. And on the subjects of music and religion comes dancing, and it takes us into our weekly look at the lighter side of Swiss news. The Lucerne government wants to abolish a current ban on dancing on religious holidays. Club owners are welcoming talk of easing the restriction, which applies on Good Friday, Easter Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, Christmas, and Ash Wednesday. A dance ban is simply not up to date, says Martin Knopfel, the head of a club called Loft. He says he loses tens of thousands of francs per year because of the prohibition. A final decision will be made by Lucerne's cantonal government. And now it's time for Out and About, the part of our podcast where Swiss Info journalists report from their travels. This week we hear from Andrew Littlejohn in London, who spoke with fashion designer Sandro Schwitzer. The 26-year-old Sandro prefers the single moniker Saru and will be in the thick of things as the fashion world descends on the British capital for the start of London Fashion Week. The event has developed a reputation as a hub for emerging talent and is expected to be particularly vibrant this year as it celebrates its 25th anniversary. Saro studied at the Atelier Chardin-Savard in Paris and worked as an intern for designer Sue Stemp in New York, and most recently joined a small team at Vivienne Westwood in London.
I have two approaches to design. One start for me is to just drape fabrics around the mannequin, and then I take the measurements from that drape to a pattern piece and develop it from there. Another way, I use a traditional pattern piece, put it on the table and try to find out how can I make that piece more interesting for me, or how can I develop this pattern so it's working for me.
So what makes this style or this design Saro?
It's my technique of cutting pieces. My designs are coming from a geometric point of view. So one of this pattern is it's a dungaree. Usually what I do with my clothes is I try to make it quite minimal. That's maybe my Swiss aspect in my designs. I try to lose whatever is not necessary, like side seams, because all in all you just have a little dart in a side seam, which just makes it fitted, but it doesn't make it like essential. I lose side zips, but it always has a system to it where a piece hangs on you, is wrapped around you. So the next step is to cut it on a not expensive piece of fabric, which is similar to the fabric that you use in the end for the production. And then you try it on a fitting model. And then you discuss with the pattern cutter where you have to do alterations. Then we pin that or draw it on the piece, and you do the whole thing again. You alter your pattern until the piece is perfect.
Are the Swiss highly regarded in the fashion world as designers?
There is not really anybody like it. There is Acris. He works with Swiss fabrics, Swiss silks, and I work with a really important silk producer in Switzerland. He's called Andy Stutz, and that's where Switzerland has a really strong influence in fashion, in fabrics.
So how did you then, as a young man, how did you get into design?
I started when I was about 15, 16, 17, when I started to go out in Zurich in Switzerland. Together with my friends, we started to customize our t-shirts or our jackets. And we went even further. We started to sew pieces together. And I really got absorbed in that idea. And I really liked changing my look to other people or make myself look more interesting.
You've obviously been on an incredible journey since leaving Switzerland. What do you think that has helped get you to where you are today?
I had a lot of luck in my life. That means I always followed my dream. I always followed what I wanted to become. And even when I was in school in Paris, I never wrote CVs because I will have my own fashion company anyway. For me, maybe it's also to prove myself. I go away from Switzerland to prove I can become somebody, and I want to prove maybe even friends or family in Switzerland, look, I can do something outside of the border.
And that brings us to the end of another Swiss Info podcast. You can read more about these stories and others at swissinfo.ch. Be sure to turn on, tune in, and download again next week. Until we meet again, I'm Justin Hannay.